From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. As you've no doubt heard by now, the Nobel Prizes in Science were awarded this past week, and Massachusetts was well represented. Two of the three recipients of the Physiology and Medicine Prize are from Brandeis University, and half the Physics Prize went to a scientist who has spent the vast majority of his career, from college onward, at MIT. Hear how this year's winners compare to past laureates. Also, scientists tracking the aftermath of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster find a surprising source of ongoing ocean contamination. And a crowdsourced study is finding synthetic chemicals in our bodies. In many cases, we know exactly where they're coming from and how to avoid them. But some of them are a bit mysterious. More on that later this hour. First, the Nobels. Learning the personal stories of Nobel laureates is always my own favorite part of Nobel Week. The prizes also offer a chance to ruminate on who wins these awards and what that says about the culture of science. To dig into those questions, we turn to Peter Galison. He's the Joseph Pellegrino University Professor in the Physics Department at Harvard University. He's also the director of Harvard's collection of historical scientific instruments. Peter Galison, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
All right, so three men won the prize in physics this year, Rainer Weiss, Barry Barish, and Kip Thorne. And the work they did confirmed something that Albert Einstein had theorized some 100 years ago, the existence of gravitational waves. Now, these three winners are ages 85, 81, and 77 years old. They've all had long careers at top universities. How typical are they of Nobel Prize winners?
Well, the average age for Nobel Prize winners is about 59, and so it's a longer time. What's extraordinary about this award in physics is that this was an experiment, an observation that was planned and executed over decades. It was a huge, a lifetime engagement of Kip Thorne and Barry Barish, Rainer Weiss, and in that sense, it's really moving that they were able to devote this much effort over those many years with. Still holding out for the hope that they could actually see, so to speak, the merger of black holes. And that they found it with this extraordinary instrument is really an astonishing accomplishment. And I think in that sense, it's a longer-term enterprise than almost any of the other very well-deserving Nobel Prizes. But that singles it out.
You study kind of three different subsets of researchers and innovators within the field of physics. So there are those who are theoretical physicists who are coming up with the concepts and the ideas. Then there are those who do experiments to actually test those ideas. And then there are actually those who create the instruments and the technologies that are needed to do those experiments. And as you were just saying, this year's prize in physics, those winners kind of span those last two categories, right? They actually spent their careers developing a way to test for and measure gravitational waves, and then also were able to find a gravitational wave and then confirm the Einstein's theory of relativity or that aspect of it.
It's true. I mean, in fact, they're all three, really. Kip Thorne is a theorist. Barry Barish has done tremendous work in particle physics before his work here in gravity waves and astrophysics. And Rainer Weiss has devoted himself with extraordinary results to developing a new category of instrument, an instrument that builds on an older idea of combining light waves to make very fine measurements of position and extending it and expanding it to a world-spanning instrument with its principalities at the moment in Hanford in Louisiana, in Hanford, Washington, in Louisiana, and now in Italy, and soon to be expanded yet further into other countries. So it's really an accomplishment that has drawn on the long history of theory going back to Einstein's general theory of relativity in 1915 all the way up through the results of this extraordinarily precise measurement in 2015. It's a 100-year voyage.
Do you think that's typical of Nobel Prize winners, or is it typically theorists or experimenters or inventors? Is it typically one of these categories that tends to get the bulk of the recognition?
I would say the Nobel Prize as a whole has tended to zero in on things closely connected to experiment. And, you know, that may be a certain fearfulness that has occupied the Nobel Prize judges from early on about betting too heavily on theories before they've paid off in experiments, so to speak. But that has been the orientation. And there are some awards in for instrumentation, but I'd say that the bulk of the awards, at least in physics, have been towards experiment. Einstein himself, I mean, one of the extraordinary things about the Nobel Prize, and there are many good things about it, especially now by valuing science in a time when science is under siege in so many ways. But one of the things that's really extraordinary is that Einstein never won the Nobel Prize for either special relativity or general relativity. I mean, two of the greatest accomplishments in all of science.
We noticed that last year, all of the American Nobel laureates in the sciences were actually immigrants who were born in other countries. That's also true of Ray Weiss this year with the Physics Prize and the one American winner of the Chemistry Prize. What do you think that says about the culture of science, that so many of America's top scientists are actually immigrants?
Well, I think it's a combination of several things. I mean, immigrants have historically tried hugely to be able to contribute back to the country they immigrated to. And I think over many, many decades, immigrants, not just in science, have struggled to be able to contribute to the United States. So part of it is their own motivation. Part of it is their background and the challenges of changing culture, society, often language, that I think also prepares them to think in a multitude of different ways. And finally, it speaks to American science that it's been willing to welcome people from other places. And the infrastructure of American science was there. It's not as if they immigrated to the North Pole. I mean, they immigrated to a place that had the facilities, the universities, the laboratories, the backing from the federal government, and an openness to these immigrants. So for all those reasons, I think it's been a huge contribution to American science and to science in the world more generally that America has welcomed immigrants as they have.
One notable thing about this year's winner list is there are no women. And in fact, while the number of women Nobel laureates has definitely been going up in recent decades, the last woman to win the Physics Prize specifically was Maria Geppert-Mayer in 1963. What do you think that says about the state of women in science and in physics in particular?
Well, it's been a long, tough road for women scientists, especially in areas like physics. I think that some of it is simply exclusionary, and it's taken a long time for the culture of science and physics in particular to open its doors in a way that would be encouraging to women. I think 50 or 60 prizes have gone to women sciences, Nobel Prize winners.
49 women, I believe.
49 women out of 885, yeah. So it's a relatively small fraction, and one expects and hopes that it does increase. But some of the early results in the early decades, you know, it was simply statutory. Women couldn't get doctorates, and they couldn't go to classes. They were forbidden from coming to lectures. They were not given laboratory space. I mean, so it's a, and then it becomes, there are forms of discrimination that are less explicit that just make it tough for women to make their way into these fields. It has gotten better, there's no question, but women have had to fight hard for a place, a successful place in science in the United States and Europe over a very long period of time.
Peter Gallison is the Joseph Pellegrino University Professor in the Physics Department at Harvard University. Thanks so much for your perspective.
Thank you.